Hi, and welcome everyone to the next episode with Series 1, Episode 4 with Women's Wisdom Through the Ages. My name's Catherine Ellis, if you haven't seen me before. One of the purposes of this podcast is to actually chat with women of different ages. So I've just entered my 50s, and then the thinking is that people think differently at different times. So I'm here with Jenny Gleason, so I'll introduce with her in a moment. I'm really pleased to have her here today. Over the different series, we've had people in their 60s, in their 30s, even in their 20s, and just looking at different issues in society, but just through chatting with each other, trying to come up with some ideas of maybe how can we overcome. And especially in this time of COVID-19, it's even more important than usual, because I find it's like everything becomes more intense. I don't know about you, Jen, but I'm finding it's a bit like becoming a teenager again. Yeah. Everything is a bit more intense at the moment. Yes. In most situations. So I've known Jen probably since 2004, 2005, around
2006. I moved to Kalgoorlie.
Okay, 2006, when Jen was the regional industry career advisor with the Chamber of Commerce and Industry in WA, and so we used to cross paths quite a lot. And so we haven't seen each other so much since then. So I'd just like you, can you tell us about yourself, please, Jen? And welcome. Sure.
Thank you for having me. It's really lovely. I feel very honoured to be part of this. So thank you. I'm now 44, 45 soon. Best years of my life. Right. When people say the 40s are the best years, I must say they've been the best years. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Perth and got married in Perth, and then moved to Kalgoorlie with my now ex-husband. And it was in the boom time. So, you know, we sort of followed the money, I guess. Mm-hmm. But at the time I had been doing my graduate certificate in career development. Mm-hmm. And worked for the Chamber. And that was the best job, because I worked with youth between 13 and 19. And sort of did some brokering with employers as well, because employers were desperate for people. Yet there was a real divide between employer expectation and what young people thought employers wanted. So my whole role was being a broker for that.
Yeah.
And then I moved back sort of to the career area.
Before you say that, Jen, I'm just going to jump in there for a minute. I know you and I have a bit of a background in teaching as well.
Yes.
And so let's come back to that later about the expectations, if you think they're still the same, or so I'll just write it down. So
yeah, it's for sure.
Expectations between the employers and the teenagers.
Yeah, and let's even say education training providers.
Yes. Ah, good one.
Yep. Chuck that one in there, because that's important.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, and then you went back to Perth.
Yep, but now I'm in Bunbury, so I'm back in the sort of southwest area, which is, I guess, my home. And back in that sort of career advisory role, mm-hmm. not with the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, though, but I'm with the Education Department now, mm-hmm. working with, once again, 13 to 19-year-olds, and helping them with their career pathway planning and expectations. So it's come back around again, which is really quite fascinating. You know, in between I'd done some other things, like working in the disability sector and working in remote Indigenous communities. Back doing what I love. So,
wonderful.
Yeah.
And I suppose, I mean, there's so many ways that we can go straight away. Before we go into why that, you know, you're so keen with youth, because I know that's a passion of yours.
Yeah.
And also, can you just see if we are recording? Can you see? Oh, yes. Okay. I can see we're recording. Thank you. Yep. I'm really light here because I was just saying to Jen that being at home and there's quite a few other people in the house, I've had to come to a room and close the door, but it's at the time of the day when the sun is coming directly in. So I look like I've very bright, but sorry, I can't do much about that.
You just look invigorated.
Oh, that's good. That's good. those of you who don't know Western Australia, Kalgoorlie is an amazing place. It's in the West Australian goldfields. and it's a really vibrant, happening place. Very multicultural now, great coffees, great cafes, and that was sort of, I think, just starting more around that time, or seemed to be. And Bunbury is just so beautiful.
Well, Bunbury is about the same size as Kalgoorlie, population-wise, but on the coast. So to me, it reminds me of the vibe of Kalgoorlie when I was there, but on the coast, which is much nicer, whereas Kalgoorlie is red dirt, desert, and the closest ocean was Esperance, which is 4 hours south.
Yes.
Whereas I walk to the beach where I am.
Yeah, wonderful. And Bunbury's also very famous for the dolphins.
Yes. Dolphin Discovery Centre. We have a lot of people travel here to do voluntary work there.
Mm. Oh, it's amazing. Like, you can go in and, you know, walk in and then the dolphins come up, but you're not allowed to pat them, but then they can brush up against you and those babies. And so I just thought I'll give WA a plug there.
Yeah.
I know there's closed borders at the moment, but the borders will open again.
Yes. And come and visit, and you can stay with me because I do Airbnb.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Okay. Now, coming back to why youth? Why are you so passionate about youth?
Yeah. Look, to be honest, I think we end up getting into something that we're passionate about. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope most people do anyway. Mm-hmm. So as a young person myself, I really struggled. It's quite common for people now to be diagnosed with anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. But when I was a young person, so which was in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, anxiety and depression was not really a label that anyone had ever heard before. Mm-hmm. But I was diagnosed at the age of 12 with anxiety. And no one really knew what to do with that because it was not very common at all. And, you know, I got help that I needed to, but I think I really wanted and needed someone that could just be a mentor, that wasn't a family, that wasn't a psychologist, that wasn't a teacher, that was just someone that had no vested interest to give me some objective perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have that. I was an only child. Parents worked a significant amount, very small family. And it was just like, I just need someone to be here for me and not judge me. So I think now I do what I wanted someone to do for me when I was younger.
Yeah. I think probably that comes down to it for a lot of us.
Yeah.
I used to think years ago, some people could be if you won the lottery or if you were married or if somehow your life had magically changed, it's like, what would I do or whatever? And I think a lot of people come back and it's like, well, what would I have liked
to
do? So I suppose in that, especially if there's young people watching or people in transition, especially with a lot of people having lost their jobs, that's really important. So sometimes it's through your greatest discomfort, I think, that people actually find their purpose.
Hmm. So that's And I think, and I'm also, when I was 19, in a space of 6 months, I had 3-4 friends commit suicide.
Wow.
When I was 19. Yep. Four of them.
Yeah.
And from just before Christmas until the end of April.
Yeah.
So that's like one a month. And I just fell apart, you know, because suicides are just awful in itself, but they were all separate groups of friends. So none of them necessarily knew each other.
Wow.
So the whole grieving process for 4 different lots and fell apart again, because you just fall apart. What do you do with that?
Mm.
And again, I found solitude in someone that it was actually a psychologist nurse, because I ended up going into a psychiatric unit because I just fell apart. Mm. And she said to me while I was there, she said, "You are actually really smart, you know, and you're really you're a lovely person. And what about becoming a teacher?" Mm-hmm. Well, it's the first time I'd ever thought that I was smart enough to do anything, and I'll never forget her. I can't remember her name. I vaguely remember what she looks like, but she sort of popped into my life for a period of time, gave me confidence, and then kind of left again. And if I could do that for a young person, that's, to me, that's my purpose in life.
Yeah, wonderful.
And you know, be with that person for a short period of time, and then that's all they need, and they can go again, you know?
Yeah. And that's so brave, even that you're sharing about that, like having known you professionally and then on and off, you know, with cross paths and things over the years, I would never have picked you for having anxiety in the first place.
No.
I would never have picked you for having been in a psych ward. And there's so many people these days that have been in, even just for a night or two, or you know, or extended times. And it's really good when we can start talking about it, and it's just, it doesn't mean it changes your whole life. I think sometimes, did you think when you went in that you were never going to get out of that cycle?
Oh, so the first time I went in was when I was 13. Mm-hmm. I went into a psychiatric unit for 3 months. Mm-hmm. So that was in year 9, very young. Yeah. And then when I was 19 for 3 months, and then when I was 23 for 2 months. And I did start to think, is this ever going to end? Mm-hmm. But then I met my husband, and I think I was looking for a rock, someone that was secure and stable, because I hadn't really had that before. Mm-hmm. And then that helped me break the cycle. So I think, you know, you meet people for a reason too. Mm. And we pulled each other through some pretty horrendous times in our 20s. Yeah. And then, you know, we said goodbye in our early 30s, and it was mutual, because it was like we'd been together for part that we needed to be. And then, you know, he's remarried and has kids now, which is lovely.
Beautiful.
So I think we come together, things happen to us for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time I was like, why is this happening? This is not fair. Like, why are my friends killing themselves? What's going on? But I could have taken that and gone, well, I'll do it too, which was a consideration, of course. Mm-hmm. But then I think I was like, no, I'm here for a reason.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. In my 20s, I had no idea. But then I think when I got that role in Kalgoorlie, it was helping these 13 to 19-year-olds. Mm. Not directly so much. I was working more with the employers, but when I could see the impact of that work with those kids, I realised that this is what I'm drawn to do. This is what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
And it's funny now, because as a 44-year-old, I'd be thinking, oh, kids don't want to hang around with someone that could be their mum, because I could be their mum. I don't have kids, but I could be their mum. But they don't see me like that, you know, and they get shocked when I say, you know, you could be my kid, and they're like, no, not you, you're Jenny.
Jen, I'm just going, I'm very new to Zoom, so I don't actually know how to pause, so I'm just going to lean forward and try and close this curtain, because the sun's coming down and it's looking really, really bright, so I'm just going to step out for a minute and try and close that and see if that helps. Oh, that looks a bit better, doesn't it?
Yes,
shiny. Okay. So that's huge. So that's awesome that you were able to be out, and obviously that's over 20 years of not having those issues. And how healthy to have a healthy look at when a marriage breaks down, that it doesn't mean it's the end of the world.
No.
And I understand that the loss of any dream, and especially, you know, our marriage is so huge.
Yeah.
So I don't want to make light of it, but it's just lovely and refreshing to hear someone that's got the really positive attitude to that. So, yeah.
Well, I'm still single now. I mean, we broke up, 10 years ago, and I'm still, you know, I don't hop from relationship from relate, because I don't think that's very healthy at all, for me anyway, because, yeah, you've got to work out who you are before you introduce a new person, I think.
Yes, and that could be another whole interview.
I know. Yeah, let's not go down that pathway.
But I will just say that it was years ago, I did go down that path and just look, but where did this romantic love come from? And it's only actually been around for about 120, 130 years. And it came out of like Hollywood. So that was actually the first book that I wrote. I actually go into a little bit, or first or second book, and it was on relationships. And it was researching that side of it. And it was like, wow. So, but like I said, that's not what we're here to talk about today. I did want to ask you about, like, there's some really exciting things that you are doing, because obviously you're here today partly as a businesswoman. And talking about, well, how are you helping youth? So I'd like to hear more firstly about your business. Like, what are you doing with your business and what is it called? Tell us a bit about that.
Okay. So my business is called LifeWorks. Mm-hmm. So LifeWorx. Mm-hmm. So after my ex and I split up, I went traveling. I went to South and Central America and I did lots of voluntary work, and then unexpectedly had to come back to Kalgoorlie. That's a very different story. Mm-hmm. But felt really lost. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? And the role that I had been doing, I thought, well, I'll take that and make it my own instead of going through, you know, the government. So LifeWorks originally started with career coaching for teenagers. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it was all about. But then schools are very difficult kettle of fish to work with. Funding is an issue. If it doesn't sit with their priority, it's an issue. Mm-hmm. They apparently have career advisors, but just quietly they don't. Or the career advisors, you know, the teachers get lugged with, you know, the career advice. Anyway, different podcast. So I had to sort of diversify and went into working with corporate. Mm-hmm. So that's when I discovered personality profiling, actually, and looking at things like Myers-Briggs, DISC, personality dimensions, true colours, all sorts, mm-hmm. Because I'm always looking for tools to help people. And I discovered one called Personality Dimensions, which really took off. And it's based on the four dimensions of personality types. And so pretty much my business over the last 11 years have been focusing on helping people know who they are, mm-hmm. Their personality types, that they might clash with Bob, but not if you take away Bob as the person. It's looking at his personality type. What attributes of that type are you clashing with? So it's not Bob. Bob's a great guy. It's just things that are part of his personality that you might not like. Mm-hmm. So it helps people separate the I don't like Bob, depersonalizing it and looking more at the characteristics of that type.
That is so important. For want of a better word.
It's so important.
Yeah.
And teams come back to me years later and say, you know, Jenny, I still remember that session where I had that moment of realization when I looked at Bob and realized, oh, it's just some things that he does that I don't like. Yeah. And now that I know that, and now that I know how to deal with that, we can get along.
Yeah.
And it is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Understanding your type has changed me, and it's changed a lot of people.
Wonderful. Could you give us a specific, I mean, I can think of examples, and I don't even know many personality profiling ones, but I know how it's impacted my life from the little bit that I do know. Could you think of an example of someone that perhaps hasn't had much to do with personality profiling?
Okay. So personality profiling goes back a very, very long way. Carl Jung is probably one of the most well-known psychologists that's done quite a lot of work. He was the inventor or founder of introversion and extroversion.
Oh, wow.
Which most people know something about. Yeah. So he took a lot of evidence throughout history that we have a personality type, you know. Mm-hmm. And over the, if you do a research around typing, they tend to fall into four different types. Now, we're all a blend of mm-hmm. the types, mm-hmm. but there will automatically be one way that we will function. Mm-hmm. No, we'll just automatically kind of revert back to that type as a preference. Mm-hmm. So they're different, but they have similar aspects. So a lot of you can do profiling online. So you can go online and do free ones, or you can do paid ones. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time you need a qualified person to explain it to you to really get the benefits out of it. So profiling, one of the positive things of profiling and the reason that I got into it is it's good for helping you work out what career would suit you best.
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Coming back to something specific. So say, say you said Bob. I don't like Bob. So what could be an example of a personality? I'm just talking about for someone who's never heard of personality profiling, which there could be on the call. What might be an example of Bob's behaviour?
Oh, okay. All right. So can I give you an example to do with teenagers?
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, because teenagers, this is when you see it the most, because they're not familiar with personality types. Mm-hmm. So as I said, there's sort of four types. So I wrote a book last year called Personalities in the Classroom.
Which I'm excited about. You're welcome to do a plug and hold it up if you've got a copy there.
Have I got a copy of my book? Oh, I do.
Awesome.
I've got Jenny's copy written on the front, so I don't sell it. Yeah. It's got everything in it.
Yeah.
So I've simplified it for the classroom because personality typing is quite complex. Mm-hmm. So I've made it easy for a teacher to be able to run a workshop, like an introductory workshop for teenagers.
Wow.
So pick it up, and because I'm an ex-teacher as well, I've done it in a lesson format so they can go through it, prep, everything's in there.
Wonderful.
So there's four types that I've named. One is straight shooter. So a straight shooter is someone that just tells it how it is. Mm-hmm. They tend to be the engineers in the world. They see the big picture. They don't get caught up in emotion. Mm-hmm. Then you've got ones that are the people or people person, and they're all about emotion. They're all about people. They're all about caring and being intuitive and very creative. So those two might clash. So that might be a Bob and a Jane. Mm-hmm. Yep. So they might clash because you've got someone that's quite emotional and is all about making sure that everyone's okay, whereas Bob's like, no, we've got to make people redundant because we haven't got the capacity anymore.
Yep.
So straight away you might have that clash. Now, that's just the way Bob deals with the situation. It's not Bob. It's just it's his type.
Yes.
Okay. Then you've got, then you've got performers, and performers are really quick, fast-paced. They're entrepreneurs. They get bored easily. I'm one of those. Mm-hmm. And then you've got planners, and planners like to have things organised, structured, policies and procedures. So you'd have clashes there. Because you've got a performer that just wants to go and do it. Don't worry about all that.
Yes.
And planners are going, but hang on. We haven't followed the agenda.
Yes.
So one of the biggest breakthroughs that I ever saw was with some year nines. Mm-hmm. So I'd never met these kids before. They came from really low socioeconomic school. A bit of bullying going on in the class. I don't ever want the background of the kids. At all, because I don't want to be affected by that. But as soon as I walked in, I could see that the ones being bullied were planners. Mm-hmm. There were three boys. You can tell a planner as well. They tend to be quite well groomed, in uniform. They were wearing uniform, had glasses, you know. Mm-hmm. And the ones that were bullying them were the performers. And so they were all, you know, year nine boys that looked like, you know, larrikins, long hair. I think he probably discovered dope, skateboards, that kind of stuff. So we did this activity where we were looking at personality types and the strengths, the weaknesses, why you would want someone on your team, the different famous people in the world that are those types, different types of careers, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it came to the planners, and they had to present. So, of course, they had their big piece of butcher paper in columns, you know, with their headings and stuff like that. And honestly, I thought, oh God, this is going to be a riot here. There are a lot of performers, three planners. And I tell you what, the performers just sat there and watched them and they were like, wow, we need you to keep us organized so we pass school and we can kind of fly under the radar and keep doing what we need to do, but you guys can keep us on track.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
And it was like this whole, you could feel the penny drop moment of the performers. They were just like, now I get why I need you in my life, and now I actually understand why you do what you do. It's not necessarily you, it's just the way you are.
Yeah.
You know? And then I had an email a couple of months later from the teacher, and he said the whole class had changed.
Wow.
You know, everyone was like, oh, now that I know what your strengths are, how do we utilize that to make the team work? How do we pull together? Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's why I do what I do.
Yeah. And so satisfying.
Oh, just so satisfying. And I ended up going back and doing the other year 9 classes as well.
Yep. Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's great. So that's my little proud moment.
Yeah. And you mentioned also before about having to change your business model. So I want to back up a little bit because I've noticed that over the years, like, and especially, you know, there might be big, you know, even, you know, national events or, you know, like the 2008, you know, crash or, you know, 1987 crash, different things. So how did you pivot? What did you pivot from and what did you pivot to?
In this COVID-19 or just in general?
Well, no, last, you mentioned before that that the schools were quite difficult, so you moved to the corporate. So how did you go about changing your strategy? Like, I know sometimes it can be very difficult, especially with government funding or something. So, so I'm just aware that, especially in this time, what advice would you give to someone that's needing to pivot with their business?
Yeah, oh God, that's a very big question. That's a really big question. And it's actually quite timely because I've decided to get a business coach before this COVID-19. Mm-hmm. For me, I've been self-employed for 13 years, but it's 11 years, but it's been hard. It's not been easy. Mm-hmm. And I'm also single. Mm-hmm. So I have had through these 11 years, times where I've taken 6 months to a year off to work on my business. Mm-hmm. But I've always had to have a part-time job. And as I said before, I do Airbnb, I do tutoring, I do all of these other things just to keep afloat.
Yes.
And that's
a big thing because, and I think you hit the nail on the head because I've always been single as well.
Yeah.
So at times I've had to go back to teaching and even back to full-time teaching, which means that my business drops right back. And yet when you don't have those extra pressures of being the main breadwinner, then, you know, you can tweak, you know, you can just do things up. I find it's much easier in some ways.
Yeah.
So if I used to be a homestay mom or, you know, just do many different things the same as you.
Yeah, I have got to that point. This is why I've got the business coach, because I don't have the energy to keep doing that.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to keep doing that because I love what I do. I believe in what I do. I see the difference in what it does for people. It just doesn't bring in the money.
I would say yet. People see what you're doing and they see the difference, so I'm hoping even through this podcast that because, you know, like you're so passionate, you're obviously giving something that people need and it makes such a difference. And I think importantly, it's about the health and the wellness and the mind, like the mental, because when people are, you know, we all have like the internal dialogues. It can be positive, it can be negative. So depending on if you call an internal critic and an encourager, whatever it is. Yeah. But if you know, people are judgmental, people are critical. But if you can realise, okay, well, you might not like that about that particular person, for example. But once you understand, it's not about the person. So I love that, how you've separated it out from the person.
Yeah.
It is so important. So I hope that even through this, maybe you'll pick up some more clients. So what sort of services? So say, for example, if a school wanted you to come and train them, how could they find you?
Yep. So it's all on my website, which is going to be getting fixed up and rejuiced because I bit the bullet and went, right, I'm just going to do this. I've got a little bit of money sitting there. My mum was fantastic, and because of COVID-19, she panicked and gave me some money. She was like, oh, I don't want to get stuck. And I said to her, I want to do this. And she said, okay, do it. She's seen how hard I've worked and just, you know, treading water. And she went, right. Mm. So it's all been rejuiced, but the personalities in the classroom, if they just want to buy that, that's $24.95. So they can go on to my website and order it and I can send it.
And what's the website? I mean, I will put it up in the link.
Yeah. But, so lifeworks.com.au.
Okay, so lifeworx.com.au. Awesome. I will be putting it into the details of the YouTube video. Yep, wonderful. Yeah. And so can people, do you fly around the country? How does that work? If people wanted you to come and speak to them, obviously after the lockdowns and
everything. Yeah, yeah. Yep, I'm more than happy to do that. And in here, as I said, there's a workshop. So what I can do is actually take a school or a group of year 12 teachers or whoever wants to do it through how to run it in their classroom.
Wonderful.
So I go through the history of where it came from because I didn't just pull this out of anywhere. It's taken a lot of work. So I can take it through. There's the sort of theory of where it came from. Mm-hmm. So the very first one is Hippocrates. So, through the history of it, and then how to implement it into the classroom and how to troubleshoot if any kids kind of start to go a little bit AWOL. So, and understanding your type as well. So they can do a workshop on understanding their type.
Yeah. And hopefully how that can calm things, because I find if you've got such a different personality type coming in, sometimes, and it depends also, I find, on who your team is, especially as a teacher. And I'll say that in any team. If you don't have someone that's keeping order, and if you have to step into that role of bringing the order, automatically you're not going to be popular.
No.
And that's not nice. I've had to step into that, not because I've wanted to, but because the administrators or the bosses or sometimes haven't actually done that. And so they've said, okay, well, you're being employed to bring that as part of your role. And so it's, you know, I do it because that's what I've been employed for, but it's tough on a daily basis. It's tough. Yeah.
So, I've been in that role too. Awful.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully there's some things that, you know, that you're bringing into your workshops as well of how to simplify that. So I'm really excited. And so it'll be great to have you on later or even, you know, this is an idea that's just popped into my head. I mean, how great would this be if there's people in the future that if they hear people say, for example, like this interview with you today, and then they're giving feedback. Wow, I did Jenny's, you know, course, or I read the book. And so I'd love to see us encouraging each other. And if we've read something, or that we can give testimonials, because I think especially in this time, I had someone just recently saying, oh, don't go online, you know, during COVID, everyone's gone online. You'll just get lost in all of the information. And it's like, that's not a positive way to look at life. We want to be looking at the positives and where can we go and what can we do. And I think there's a lot of people like you and I out there that have been so passionate and been going on and on and on, you know, with our businesses. And it's like it can be tough. And especially being single, having to tweak and pivot and get the income, you know, consistently through that. You mentioned, what is one thing that you found really positive about the business coach? Just in general, business coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, business coaching. Well, I nearly fell over when I saw the cost. But I think it depends on who you get. So that I've looked for them several times through, you know, obviously throughout my 11 years. What I've found with the other ones, not Andrew, but the other people, is that they have spoken to me like business 101. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Andrew, he has taken the time to see where I am now and the knowledge that I have now and look at what I've been doing and looked at the loop and the cycle that I've been on and gone, we need to stop there.
Yes. That's wonderful.
That's when your loop is starting again. Yeah. Like, what is it that makes you throw yourself back into that pattern of behavior, that pattern of not believing in yourself? He's not a psychologist at all, but that's where your loop starts again. Why did you go back and do that?
Yes.
So that's one thing. The other thing is he comes from a finance background. Mm-hmm. So his head is finance. Mm-hmm. Is that making you money? No, stop doing it. Just like that. And the other thing is he introduced me to someone that does marketing and promotion, mm-hmm. which I've found very hard to decipher who actually knows what they're doing and who says they do but they don't.
Yes, I find that with every industry.
Oh.
And especially social media. Like, a lot of people say they know social media, but I did a lot of courses and things going back, over 10 years ago now.
I remember,
Yeah, and so I would probably say I got up to maybe a 7 out of 10. So mm-hmm. to me, I was pretty good, but I was never like an 8, 9 or 10 out of 10. But I know so much more than most of the other people that I've spoken to because I'd done like a lot of those courses. I was part of meetup networking groups and all of this stuff. So yeah, you learn as you go along, but I think sometimes it can also even be like the right person at the right time or the right connections.
Yeah. And I've had engaged in quite a few people who say that they're social media experts. And as you just said, they're not up at, I need someone that's a 10 out of 10, someone that's like dabbling or gone, I understand how to use LinkedIn. I'm just going to promote myself as an expert.
Yeah. And just on that, if someone's not sure what we mean by that, like doing backlinks to your website, I get a lot of people commenting on numerous websites that I have, but there's not one comment that I approve because it's like got crazy web links or it doesn't make sense. So, and I know because I've employed people to do those sorts of things previously, and it just, so just be aware of that. I'm definitely not an expert at all. And I understand I'm redoing my website at the moment. So I've got another meeting after this to set up my new homepage and, it's awesome, Jen, just to see that you're powering ahead and still going.
And, and obviously, so many times I don't want to. I'm just like, I'm just going to go back to full-time work. And but I also think, 11 years, I'm not going to throw that. And I just believe that I feel this is the first time I felt, and this is why I think being in my 40s is great, this is the first time I've actually felt that I am this close to actually nailing it.
Yeah.
To actually having people go, she knows what she's talking about and I'm going to pay her her worth. But it's taken a lot of time and energy and self-delving to go, I'm actually worth that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So you've got to believe in yourself first.
I'm just aware of the time. I try and keep it maximum for about 35 minutes. I think we may have even gone a little bit over that. But just to finish off, is there any final piece of advice that you'd like to give to someone that's maybe listening at the moment?
So if you are self-employed, don't give up and don't balk at an amount that a business coach or a social media person or an accountant or a whatever, graphic designer, spend the money.
Yes.
Because if I could go back, and someone had said to me, obviously people throw money, this is going to cost you X amount of money, and you go, I don't have it. Do it. Because otherwise you're chasing your tail.
Yes. But as long as it's a good one. And that's what I find. Sometimes it's you don't know if they're good or not. Like, I've been on the other hand sometimes throwing money and then, so it's a catch 22, but go through recommendations. Absolutely.
Recommendations, research them and go with your gut instinct.
Wonderful.
Because I paid someone $1,800 a month to help me with my coaching and I went against my gut instinct. So So I lost that money for, I think it took me 4 months to actually get the guts up to say, no, you're not helping me. So she took that money, but I should have gone with my gut instinct.
Yes.
And gone, no, you're not the right one for me. So go with your gut instinct. That's
again, I've had a similar experience.
Yes.
So that's wonderful. So, if you hold on, and I'll just stop the recording. So just thank you again to everybody who's been listening. You've been listening to Women's Wisdom Through the Ages with Jenny Gleason of LifeWorks, who is now based in Bunbury in Western Australia. My name's Catherine Joy, or Catherine J. Ellis, and you're probably seeing this off the YouTube or maybe through Podbean or one of the podcast stations. Okay, we thank you. We honour you for just listening today. Hopefully you've got something out of it. And especially, I really hope that you take this on board, because we've all got young people around us. Mm. If we're an auntie, if we're a mum, if we're, a teacher, you know, just there's young people around us everywhere. So that's the next generation that we're just sowing into. So thank you, Jen. I just really honour what you've been doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, and I'll just stop recording. Okay, how was that?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Well, what I did last time was I just basically put it straight up onto Podbean and straight up onto, because I don't know how to edit or anything. I used to have a team of people helping me when I did it years ago.
Yep.
Which I don't anymore. So hopefully that will happen in the future.
Yep.
So, I think that stopped recording.
All I can see is...
No. Hang on. I have pressed the wrong button. Okay, sorry, guys. You can tell that I don't have the team. I'll just stop recording now. How's that for live?